Paid for by IMIC Incorporated.
The Cure with Amy Cabo is brought to you by IMIC Research. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Cure. This is your host, Amy Cabo. You're listening to 880 The Biz. You can download the app at 880 AM The Biz or go to the website www.880thebiz.com. Today, we're talking basically about PTSD and depression. And for those of you that are listening for the first time and don't know what this show is about and don't know much about me, let me just give you a brief summary. I am someone that has gone through a lot of things, and I have experienced trauma, and as a result, I've developed PTSD, and I do suffer from depression. So on those subjects, I know a good amount of things, and I have basically suffered sexual abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse for about 8 to 9 years, starting with my parents since I was a little girl, multiple rapes, and foster homes, and 14 years of custody battles, experienced domestic violence, went through the scare of my daughter almost dying when somebody tried to kill her. And how did I survive? Well, the truth is, I never lost my faith in God. I never lost my faith in God, and I always prayed. Not that it was always easy. Not that there wasn't times I didn't fumble and fail. Not that there weren't times that I went through depressions and I felt like I was alone in the world. So in those cases, I understand. But today, I have Boris Nikolov joining us. Hi. Hello. Boris.
Hi, how are you?
It's good to have you with us. He's basically the one that provides whoever's listening with any information that's helpful as far as websites and numbers and things that they can use for help. Basically, I look at different things. I look at Facebook. I look at the news. I read things. I belong to groups in Facebook, like a group called CPTSD, and I read testimonies, different opinions, different ways that people cope with depression or what they're dealing with. I also get a bigger understanding of the things that people are suffering. But one thing that I keep hearing a lot, and it's a recurring theme, is depression. There is a problem with depression in the United States. So in that scenario, I've also learned that there's ways that you can help yourself when you're dealing with depression. But it could be challenging at times because not everybody understands. There are some people that simply don't understand what depression is about. But a person who's depressed may be angry, may be quick to anger, may be more emotional. Something that would normally not set you off, the person will be very emotional. Now, I'll give you an example. My daughter came and she was looking for something. She didn't find it right away. So immediately she has PTSD because she was almost killed. But immediately she stresses, and I said, hold on, let me look for it. But she's already crying. Of course, we find it immediately. But that's what PTSD does. It's not character flaws. They're symptoms. And that's why it's important for us not to judge one another. Because who are we to tell what's a character flaw from a symptom of a more serious source underneath? People who are dealing with depression have a lot of resentment and a lot of self-loathing. They seem to be on the edge of the time, and they're angry all the time. The problem is that when they lose control, they're aware that something's wrong. They're aware that's something they don't want to do. And then it's almost like a vicious cycle. They hate themselves even more because of their symptoms. So in those cases, it's important to have a support system, to turn to someone that cares, even among each other as survivors, because I've learned a lot from the CPTSD group I'm in, that, you know, survivors, we're not all that different. Our symptoms, you know, from PTSD, the most prominent is depression. And it's important to have a support system. I would say it's the most important thing to be there for one another. And I wanted to share with you guys something that I found that I hope can help you, if possible. It's called, If You Don't Understand Depression, Watch This.
Madness. And if you understand the difference, you can save someone's life. Now, when you looked at that man, you could likely instantly recognize that he was sad. And that's because sadness only has one face. You could tell from the way that his posture was lowered, he was looking down, and his eyes were watery. To recognize depression, however, it's much more complicated because it has many faces. Depression is smiling on the outside when you're with friends, but later that night being exhausted from having to appear happier than you really were all day. Depression is achieving that dream promotion you always wanted, only to feel lonely and deeply unfulfilled now that it's arrived. Depression is taking that perfect smiley selfie for Instagram, while really on the inside feeling shame and guilt the real you will never measure up to the perfect you that you try to portray. As you can see, depression has many faces, unlike sadness. And that's not the only difference. Another major one is duration, because while sadness can last for only a moment, depression can last for years and years. Now, why is that, you may ask? It's because depression is much more complex and deeply rooted, while sadness is much more simple and reactive.
Oh, she's sweet but a psycho, a little bit psycho. At night she's screaming, I'm on my mind, out my mind. Oh, she's hot but a psycho, so left but she's right though. At night she's screaming, I'm on my mind, out my mind.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals from a very sincere and honest position Amy Cabo's life, a warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on www.godisthecure.com or buying her book on amazon.com.
And now we continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure on 880 The Biz.
Hi, welcome back to The Cure. For those that are just tuning in, thank you for tuning in. This is The Cure. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, on 880 The Biz. We're talking here with Boris Nikolov about PTSD, which a lot of us in America suffer from. And one of the main problems is depression, because that's what leads to suicide. And our suicide rate is growing. So basically, this show is designed to provide a platform where we can help one another. You're welcome to call in. The number is 305-541-2350, because we can all add something to the table. We can all learn from each other. I can tell you what I know, but I also read other people's experiences and their ideas. So, because sometimes, just the same way it takes a village to raise a child, it may take a village to be there for someone who's hurting. But Boris, didn't you have some helpful information?
Yes, as you mentioned, depression is really prevalent in the United States and in the world. But the numbers that I have for the United States right now are more than 16 million adults in the United States had at least one major depressive disorder. That's a lot of people. That is around 7% of the people in the United States. And suicide is one of the biggest problem that can happen with depressed patients, and that's a major public concern. Over 40,000 people die by suicide each year in the United States. And this is the 10th leading cause of death, which is very high. And obviously, if you know of somebody who feels like taking his own life, or if you are in that position, seek for help. There is a toll-free National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is 1-800-TALK. 1-800-273-TALK. Or 1-800-273-8255. Some symptoms and signs of when people thinking of committing suicide, so maybe can guide you about that, is when they're talking about wanting to die and wanting to kill themselves, when they're talking about feeling empty, hopeless, or having no reason to live.
They have very negative behavior. They see things, we see things in a very negative light. It's very difficult to be hopeful. And sometimes there's not much you can do. Just try to find somebody that can be there for you, that can be supportive. And if you feel like you're alone, like I was at one point in my life, that I had no one, absolutely no one, then what I did, what worked for me, is that I turned to God. I turned to prayer. I found strength in prayer. Somehow I felt closer to God when I prayed. But even if you don't do that, if you don't turn to God, you can go to Facebook and you can join a group like the CPTSD, and just reading other people's opinions and thoughts and ideas are helpful. Like, for example, I read that writing is important, and there's a lady that the psychologist asked her to share her story with another patient. And at first she was afraid, but she did post that it was very helpful for her. She found it very helpful to have spoken to somebody. So there is a little something in being able to talk about what's happened. And there is a little bit of truth when they say that the truth sets you free. I do believe that. Here's an opinion of someone that is called George Flyer. I'll read it to you. It's called, "Hey, do you think we're the only ones who suffer? My many Facebook friends, oh yes, we all have had trials, temptations, and tribulations, and yes, sufferings. Look in James 1:2-13 KJV. 2, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Amen. For we are all tempted by Satan. But praise God, he, our indwelling comforter, never leaves us if you are a real born-again child of God. Look into Corinthians 1:3-5 of God. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all tribulation, that he may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abundeth by Christ." Amen. So I've learned that people do have different ways of trying to help themselves and better their lives. And I, even though I don't really read the Bible, here's someone that turns to the Bible. And people have told me that. And I've read that. And they've told me the Bible is their saving grace. And they go by the Bible. I go by my conscience. You know, I just realize that there's a higher being. And I do answer to someone. And I'm no one without him. And, you know, I guess I have to pay it forward. That's my job. At least just because he's been so good to me. God has really been good to me.
That's
despite
nice.
Everything I've been through, everything I've been blessed with, really makes up for it.
Yeah.
But nice. I've also learned certain things, like good behaviors, things that made me feel better about myself, like not complaining. If you're having a symptom, okay, you're taking medication, you're seeing a professional, you're doing therapy, and sometimes it's just nothing you can do. You feel bad. That's just it. There's nothing you can do. It is what it is. So if there's nothing no one can do, what's the point in complaining? What's the point of worrying the person that loves you? Think about how the other person will be spending their time thinking about how it's bothering you. You know, do a little something, surprise them. Ignore it. Make pretend it isn't happening. You might surprise yourself. Sacrifice is something that is a very beautiful thing when you put others before you. When you do things silently and quietly, you do things for others. You do someone a favor, or you do something great. You don't need to brag about it. You don't need to receive recognition. God knows it. God sees it. That's good enough. And you'd be surprised when you help someone else. You'd be surprised how amazing it is, because in helping someone else, believe it or not, you're helping yourself. Because as you help someone else, you bring yourself closer to God. You feel better about yourself. You learn to be a better person. You are a better person because you're being productive. And working on yourself may not be easy, and sometimes we may fail, but all we have to do is just try and try and try again. The more time that we give things, the better they get. Like, for example, I learned to give my dogs a bath every week instead of every 2 weeks. I brush them every day, and I do their eyes, and I swear they're on top of me and they're around me a lot more often. They're a lot closer to me. So you do get what you give. Life isn't that difficult. It's just learning to love one another unconditionally. And, well, it's important also to be understanding. Because depression has many different phases, just try for a minute. Try always putting yourself in the other person's perspective. Try seeing it from their eyes. And then you'll be able to understand people better. You know, it's not so bad being kind. They say nice guys finish last. I say it's just because they earn it.
And another thing, also do things that make you feel good, like things you enjoy or used to enjoy. Support your health. Aim at 8 hours of sleep. Keep stress in check.
Exercise,
or try to. You can develop some kind of check marks schedule to deal with depression, like spend some time in nature. Get moving, read a good book, watch a funny movie, or take a long hot bath, or take care of a few small tasks that you usually don't.
And, you know, something that's very important that I found helpful is keeping my surroundings clean.
Important.
Keeping my house clean. You know, if you have to shower every day and you have to brush your teeth every day, you should sweep them up every day, right? So I do believe that cleanliness is next to godliness, and all good behaviors have to do with God. And see, I have this theory. I grew up with this old school way of thinking, my mother being a traditional Catholic, would tell us, oh, that's because God is testing you. And this is happening because this is a test, and you have to pass this test. Or you see this is happening to you because God is punishing you. I don't believe that. I don't believe God is that mean. I don't believe it. I believe that everything bad that happens comes from the devil. And everything good and all the help that you get comes from God. It's just that simple. It's not... You know, getting things, I have to tell you, I'm not the only one that thinks this way. I do blame everything bad that's happened to me and the devil. I've learned to forgive the people that have hurt me because I have to be at peace with myself. And I've learned that that is the past, that, you know, you do move it on. You're not that person anymore. It's not happening to you over and over again. There's no reason to continue suffering. You don't have to be the textbook case and fall into every category. You could defy the odds. It is possible. And we really don't realize the potential that we have, how amazing it is, how we can, each and every one of us could make a difference, an impact in the world. We just don't realize it. But here's something that would probably help you understand yourself, your personality traits and your tendencies, your weaknesses and your strengths. Because if you understand your weaknesses, you can work on them. So it's called, the website is www.understandmyself.com. Again, that's www.understandmyself.com. And after you do that, there's another website about authoring. There was a psychologist, Dr. Jordan Peterson, that said people who have a focused plan that they should write about their past and their present and their future, and they should be specific about their habits and what they do, but that they should have a future goal, a plan. That he said that this improves health, this Dr. Jordan Peterson, and you become more helpful and more productive. He believed that people have to have some sort of meaning, because if people don't have meaning, they become hurt and angry. That's the reaction that you get. But I would add to that, without meaning and direction, people will become hurt and angry. And for me, God is the direction.
Good. And also, another important thing that maybe people with depression can consider is to challenge the negative thinking. Because it's very often that you feel like you're powerless or weak, but then there can be a little bit more about it. For example, try to fight with negative, unrealistic ways of thinking, because that might fuel more the depression. Like, for example, all or nothing thinking. When you look at things that it's either or, no middle grounds. For example, you might say, if I fall short of perfection, I'm a total failure. But that's not true.
Well, once you realize that if you fall short, God provides. He picks up wherever you fall short.
Okay, but I didn't want to say that point. I wanted to say the point that there is a middle ground. So you don't need to fight to be totally perfect in everything, because sometimes you simply can't.
Well, also you can find things that are helpful on Facebook. Like I found this called, "If You Suffer From Depression, Read These Quotes." Depression is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign that you've been strong for too long. Perhaps the butterfly is the perfect example that you can go through a great deal of darkness and become something beautiful. You're imperfect and wired for struggle, but you're worthy of love and belonging. Bren Brown. Remember, no matter how bad the storm gets, they never last forever. Don't hate yourself for everything you aren't. Instead, love yourself for everything that you are. Scars tell you where you've been. They don't have to dictate where you're going. So those are the things that I find helpful besides listening to music. And sometimes when you just don't feel like doing anything, not turning on the radio, or you don't have an Alexa that'll turn it on for you, and you just don't want to do anything at all, you could just, you know, you could turn to prayer. Believe it or not, prayer does help. Prayer is very helpful. And sometimes it's just difficult. It's difficult because I believe where I took philosophy. I actually took philosophy honors. And I believe wherever there is good, there has to exist evil. It's like the yin-yang, white and black. And actually there was somebody that was talking along these lines. And this is titled, God is Everything.
Satan says that, but God says this. Satan rushes you, but God steals you. Satan frightens you, but God reassures you. Satan pushes you, but God leads you. Satan confuses you, but God enlightens you. Satan condemns you, but God forgives you. Satan stresses you, but God calms you. Satan discourages you, but God encourages you. Satan worries you, but God comforts you. When our strength runs out, God's strength begins. And we need to start telling ourselves things that we belong to the King of Glory, that we're not a nobody. We got to tell ourselves, I am somebody. I am amazing. I am perfect in the eyes of Jesus. When God looks at me, he sees his son. He sees the price that he paid on the cross. You are a new creation in Christ. We need to start calling ourselves healed, happy, whole, blessed, and prosperous. Listen, stop talking to God about how big your mountain is. You need to start talking to your mountains about how big your God is. You got to understand that the giant in front of you is not bigger than the God inside of you. You've got the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead living inside of your body. You've got to rise up and you've got to say to yourself, I am somebody. There's nothing that God can't handle. There's nothing that you confess to him that'll make him love you any less. I'm telling you right now, he's a God of miracles. He is everything. He's the counselor. He's the dwelling place. He's the door to every opportunity. He's the cornerstone. He's the avenger, man. He's the captain of salvation. He's everything that there is, faithful and true, faithful witness, the gentle whisper. He's your friend, man. He's the lover of our soul. He's everything, the bishop of souls, man. He's amazing. He's all that there is. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me, and he's so awesome. But you got to start calling yourself healed, happy, delivered, set free, because there's freedom in Christ. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. The Bible says, last time I checked, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You got to start rising up and saying, man, I am somebody. I can do this, man. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do this because God says I can. Satan says that, but God says this. Satan will say that you're destroyed, but God says you're delivered. Satan will say that you're condemned, but God says you got the victory. Satan will tell you things in your ear that aren't true, but I want to tell you something. He's going to confuse you because he's the author of confusion. But I want to let you know tonight that God is the author of peace. He's the author of your faith. There's no bridge that God won't help you cross. You got to start believing it. You got to start rising up and saying, God, I want more of you. God, I want the fire of God. I want the anointing. Be desperate for God. Know that you are somebody. Satan may say one thing, but God says another. And what God's word, when he says it, it stands. And what it is, it is. God is all that there is. He's the all in all. So I want to tell you something. Satan may say that you're broke, but God, he will supply all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. You are somebody. You are empowered, man, by the Holy Spirit. God says, just know that I am for you. Bible says, no ear has heard, no eye has seen, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. I'm telling you right now, when we are weak, his strength is just beginning.
You are listening to The Cure with your host, Amy Cabo, on 880 The Biz.
A bad, bad, nevertheless. Calling it quits now, baby, I'm a wreck. time I'm walking out, I can hear you telling me to turn around. Fighting for my trust and you won't back down. Even if we gotta risk it all right now. I know you're scared of the unknown. You don't wanna be alone. I know I always come and go, but it's out of my control.
Can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals from a very sincere and honest position Amy Cabo's life, a warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on www.godisthecure.com or buying her book on amazon.com. And now we continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure on 880 The Biz.
Hi, we're back. Thank you for joining us. This is The Cure and I'm your host, Amy Cabo. We've been talking about PTSD and depression, just finding ways that we can help one another by sharing different testimonies, getting different ideas, and learning some ways to help ourselves. And I was talking earlier about how depression can be a struggle for a lot of people, and my way of dealing with it was turning to God. But not everyone can turn to God, and therefore, we have each other. They can turn to someone that really cares. The support system is very important. And God, believe it or not, does provide someone there for you that can help you. This is the testimony of somebody that did survive and was able to overcome what she was going through or what she's been through. But it's still difficult for her. So it's good to hear from others so that we are able to be more forgiving of ourselves and understand that things don't happen overnight. Sometimes it takes a long, long time. It took me over 20 years to get to where I am. It's not a quick thing. I mean, Rome wasn't built overnight. So she writes, "Something I greatly struggle with are emotional ups and downs that come with dwelling with a chronic illness. I have three conditions that have affected me to various degrees throughout my life: psychological, neurological, and autoimmune. Most of the time, I handle it relatively well. I'm able to stay positive and appreciate all the things that go right in my life that I have been gifted with. These illnesses have also enabled me to value and treasure the good days all the more. Sometimes, though, my resilience fails me, and the smallest things can send me over the edge, like the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. This tends to surprise people, because I apparently project a very different picture. I do speaking engagements in which I share my experiences with mental illness, and I'm often told after my presentations that I am brave, and I have such a positive attitude. Every single time that happens, I smile, say thank you, and feel like a complete and utter fraud. Because although I share some of the worst times with the audience, I'm also there to deliver a message of hope and inspiration, which is, of course, the note that I end on. Don't misunderstand, the message I deliver is one I strongly believe in, but people inevitably get the impression that all is well with me now. I'm at peace with my situation, and I'm only ever courageous in the face of it. The reality is far different. I'm not invisible, and sometimes I reach a breaking point and feel like railing at the world. I'm a graduate student, and when I developed mononucleosis this semester, I could not believe it. First, I have already had it before, and it's very rare to get it twice. The second, I'm in my third and a half year of a three-year graduate program because my path has diverted multiple times due to health issues. My graduate school career has involved two severe episodes, a two-week hospitalization, and the development and diagnosis of my third chronic illness. I started this semester feeling so excited. This was it. I was almost finished. And now I'm sick again. A few days after my mono was confirmed, I was lying on my couch extremely thirsty, but struggling to master the energy to get up and walk 10 steps to the kitchen because the fatigue was so severe. I started crying and couldn't stop. I was so sick of being sick. I was sick of my body failing me. I was sick of my health constantly interfering with my everyday life. I was sick of dealing with one thing after another and seemingly not catching a break. At the same time, I felt tremendous amount of guilt for the self-pity, resentment, and anger that was rolling through me. There are so many people in the world that are much worse off, that cannot afford the treatment that is so readily available to me, that have conditions far more serious than mine, and that have not been gifted with the same loving family, friends, and support system. Who am I to complain? Who am I to feel sorry for myself or angry when I'm fortunate in so many other ways? Though I have come a long way in accepting my illness, there are still times where I feel overwhelmed with negative emotions. I hate these times, and I feel a deep sense of shame even admitting to them. It has taken me a while, but when I have these moments, I'm much better at giving them the room they need. One feels like there's a certain permission required, but there is a strength in allowing yourself to feel what you are feeling without recrimination and then working through it. Robert Frost wrote, "The best way out is always through." Take a page from his book. There are a few things that I do when I feel this way. One is I distract myself with a guilty pleasure, like Marvel movie, binging, or reading a romance model. I also find talking to someone very helpful. I have identified key people in my life whom I know I can vent to without subsequently feeling guilty. And it's amazing how much just saying the words out loud to someone can help relieve the tension that comes from keeping it all within. Another option is to write it all down. Your journal will not judge you or say the wrong thing in an attempt to make you feel better, but provides a perfect outlet for you to express what you are feeling. Different approaches work for different people. It's just about finding the right thing. And most importantly, remind yourself that it is okay to feel what you are feeling. It does not make you a horrible or ungrateful person. It just makes you human. You are incredibly strong for dealing with everything you go through daily, day in and day out. So let yourself off the hook. It would be impossible to face every day and every hour with a smile on your face, and you do not need to. Feel it. Work through it. And then bounce back. So those things I find very helpful. I look at different testimonials and different people to see in what areas I can relate and what things I can share with other people and help other people, because that's what we can do, is learn from each other. For example, when I'm feeling bad, when I get those moments, sometimes you just can't help it. But I try to busy myself too, except I'll do something like try to exercise or try to clean or try to do something that involves work for some reason that works better for me. So, but it's important to just know that we can rely on one another. Even if you don't believe in God, there will be people that will be there for you. Because yeah. God is kind like that. He always helps us, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. And also don't forget, there is professional help. When you see that the things that we spoke about don't help, seek professional help. Needing additional help doesn't mean you're weak. On the contrary, that means that you are strong and you know what to do. You're looking for more help to help you.
And it's very big of you to realize that you have something that you need to work on, that you may have a character flaw, or there's something that you need help. It's very big of you, and it's very grown up of you to actually take care of yourself and do something about it rather than to live in denial.
Sure, correct. Plus, depression can be treated and you can feel better. You know, there is a lot of therapists, different types of psychotherapy, and of course there is medications. Well, a lot of people don't like medications, but sometimes they are necessary, and your doctor, psychiatrist will help you through the different types of medication that can be helpful. And definitely it's an option. Sometimes only psychotherapy doesn't help.
And to be quite honest, people with severe PTSD, it doesn't matter what point of life you're in, you deal with ups and downs of feeling okay and not feeling okay.
Correct.
Intermittently.
That's very actually common with a depression.
For example, most mornings I wake up kind of feeling odd. So what do? I play my rosary video from Facebook. And the song is soothing. And the storyline is very encouraging. And the prayer is repetitive, which puts me kind of like in a meditative stance. And I tell myself, this is enough. And so it is. And it's enough to give me strength enough to go on with my day and get everything done that I wanted to do. Because for some reason, I don't feel right unless I feel I'm being productive. I'm the kind of person that I want to make every day count. I want some reason for my existence.
This is important. That's how it gives you purpose. So I received a note here, a question from one of our social media platforms. So the lady is asking, once a person has been diagnosed and treated for depression, is it likely to return? Well,
it depends if it's situational or it's a condition that she developed.
No, we're talking about depression. When people are diagnosed with major depressive disorder, at least half are likely to experience a recurrent episode sometime in their life. So it may come soon after or not for many years. It may or may not be triggered by a life event. But yet there is a possibility that to have another episode or another episode of major depression. So then if that's the case, a psychiatrist maybe it's best to be involved so he can suggest a long-term treatment to prevent reoccurrence.
And medication.
Medication.
Yeah, and just because you're on medication doesn't mean you have to be on it forever. And, you know, it could come and go. It's fine. It's just like if you got diabetes, it's your life now. It's what you deal with. And now you have to change your diet. And now you have to live a certain lifestyle. Well, I tell you, if you have depression, live this lifestyle. Live the life according to the teachings that Jesus taught us. Live that way. Learn to love unconditionally and all the things that Jesus taught you. And if you do things that are positive, I believe that you do feel better about yourself, kind of like being proud of yourself. And I don't know, I kind of like the idea of knowing that there's somebody bigger than me, above, a higher being, that actually takes count and appreciates all the little sacrifices and the good deeds that we sometimes do, and that somebody loves us. And it was wonderful when I was alone in the world, knowing that there was always God, that even when people betrayed me and abandoned me, even when I had no one to take care of me, but I was taking care of someone else, and life was so scary because I was going through custody battles, there was always God. And I owe it all to Him. And that's why I wrote my memoir, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure. It's not a religious book, but it's giving God the credit. It's basically explaining what my life was like, the parts that went well, the parts that didn't go well. I was extremely honest. And it's just to give people the idea that it's okay to write about it. It's okay to be honest. It's not something you have to be shameful about. It's not something that you have to regret, because it's not something you did. It's something that was done to you. And that's what you have to remember. Unlike that girl that I read that has a chronic illness, it's not happening to me again and again and again anymore. It hasn't happened to me in a long time. Why should I continue torturing myself? So I don't dwell on it. I don't think about it. If I'm feeling bad, I say, oh, okay, that's the devil. He's trying to irritate me or whatever. Or that's just me not feeling well. That's okay. Or I rationalize it some way. So I do something that's positive. Like I usually pray first. And once I pray, then I do things that are constructive. And I say, oh, look at this. I did this. I'm good for something. Yay.
Yay. Good. See, this is how, yeah, you find a way to resolve the situation one way or another. And again, if you need help, don't hesitate to ask a friend or even a stranger. You know, go to a church, speak to a priest, or if you feeling very bad and you want to end your life, call the Suicide Life Prevention Line, 1-800-273-8255.
Just remember, it's important to understand that some people are going through very serious things. PTSD, it's not something to be taken lightly. And some people may be depressed even though it's not obvious, even though you don't see it. So be glad that you don't get irritated so easily, or you don't blow up so easily, or you don't get so angry so easily, because the person that does is not a happy person. That person I have compassion for, because it's not easy living being the ogre or being the bad one. You know, people always want to be a pleasant person. So understand, if somebody's not acting right where you believe they have a character flaw, it's something they're suffering. We should never judge.
Yeah,
it's something they're suffering. And believe it or not, in some way, you can be there for them. Even if you don't know what it's about, just showing you care. Sometimes just listening, right?
This is very, very, very nice. Nice, well said.
Well, I believe we're coming to a close again, guys. And I just want to say thank you so much for listening. A big thank you to Boris Nikolov, who had important information to share with us. And it was great that we had some questions. We'll try to talk more about these things next week. And do tune in. This is The Cure. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, and you're listening to 880 The Biz.
Hey, beautiful, 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 beautiful angel. Love your imperfections, every anger. Tomorrow comes and goes before you know. So I just had to let you know the way that Gucci look on you. The thunder, ain't nobody else that I be under. Beautiful, beautiful life right now. Beautiful, beautiful night right now. No, no, no. Hey, beautiful, 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 beautiful angel. Love your imperfections, every anger. Tomorrow comes and goes before you know. So I just had to let you know.
Yeah, baby.